On June 24th, after a reporter for the Columbia State tracked him down in a Georgia airport and discovered he'd just returned from Argentina, he called a press conference at which he discoursed on his genuine affection for the Appalachian Trail, then pledged to lay out that larger story, the story of where he'd been the previous week. Given the immediacy of y'all's wanting to visit, he said, he was forced to intrude private concerns into a public meeting. He began with apologies to Jenny and his four boys, Jules and Blessings, his staff, and an old friend, the memory of whose early support brought the governor close to tears. I let them down by creating a fiction with regard to where I was going, he said. He had been on an adventure trip, indeed, but not on the Appalachian Trail. He rubbed his forehead, his eyes glanced off into nowhere, his voice wobbled. I'm here, he continued, still deferring any concrete explanation of why he actually was there. Because if you were to look at God's laws, they're in every instance designed to protect people from themselves. He warmed to the subject of religion, firmer ground, he knew, for the narrative of public confession. The biggest self of self is indeed self. The answer to that riddle was a woman. The biggest self of self for Sanford was love. He'd fallen into it, and he wanted us to forgive him. To that point, I'd been interested only in the convoluted candor with which he was testifying. It was some good church, tension building, a parade of emotions not often on display in political life. I admired him for it. Then came the kicker. In answer to a question about how long his family had known, 5 months, Sanford paused, as if lost in recollection. Then, I've been to a lot of, as part of what we called C Street when I was in Washington. It was a, believe it or not, a Christian Bible study. Some folks who asked members of Congress hard questions that I think were very, very important, and I've been working with them. One such, Warren Cubby Culbertson, was at the press conference. Every month, Cubby and two seminary professors invited 15 well-connected men for a meeting at a downtown office, where Cubby, a wealthy entrepreneur, would train them in the use of spiritual weaponry with distinctly